All right. Just want to take a few minutes here, as we've been doing on Sunday nights, to take a few minutes following each speaker. And I've been sharing some homiletical principles from Warren Wiersbe on his elements of preaching. I've been trying to take one positive item. He's got several that he does, in fact, more positive than negative, total of 26 positive preaching principles that he includes. And then he has a number of preaching prohibitions, 12 of those. And so I'm reading number 9 from each of these. Under the preaching principles, he says, be specific. Propagandists depend on glittering generalities, but preachers of the gospel must be specific. There is power and authority in precision. The sermon proposition must be specific. There are several things in this passage that should help us become better Christians. Quote unquote. It's the kind of sermon statement every preacher ought to avoid. In fact, the word things is vague and should be used with caution. What kind of things do we mean? Warnings, obstacles, encouragements? Then let us say so. Truths, lessons, and ideas are also to be used with caution. The careful preacher will use his dictionary, especially his dictionary of synonyms, otherwise known as a thesaurus, right? It's an old Stephen Wright joke. What's another word for thesaurus? The careful preacher will use his dictionary of synonyms and will keep in mind Mark Twain's dictum that the difference between any word and the right word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. I appreciate that. Chesterton said just about the same thing. A man does not know what he is saying until he knows what he is not saying. There's a difference, for example, between results and consequences, difficulties and dilemmas, unity and uniformity, punishment and discipline. The effective minister of the word uses words the way a craftsman uses tools, the right word for the right job. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. And that's a quote from Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 10. We should also be specific when it comes to names, dates, and statistics. Do some research and get accurate figures. The precise date carries far more power than a few years ago. And the precise figure means much more than a couple of hundred people were killed. Be specific in Bible references and quotations, and be sure you check every reference before you finalize your outline. Even concordances can contain typographical errors, and books of sermons often perpetuate them. Clear preaching must begin with clear thinking. Give yourself time to think through the text, the purpose, and the development of the message. Avoid fuzzy thinking and aim for precision. And so that was section 9 of Wiersbe's preaching principles. And I'm sorry I can't get my equipment to work tonight. In his 9th warning, number 9 says, concluding sermons with vague generalities. This is on the list of don't do's, right? Don't do this. Concluding a sermon with vague generalities. If Peter at Pentecost had preached as some of us do, when the people cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? He would have said rather apologetically, well, let me review my main points for you again, and you really need to deal with your sins, and whatever the Lord says to you, do it. But Peter knew he was aiming at before he started, and he knew his commission, and that determined his conclusion. Strictly speaking, the conclusion of the sermon ought to be prepared first. Now, I thought about that, and sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. But it is interesting. If you know the conclusion, if you know the walk-away application, if you know the departing exhortation, then you can be sure that you are preparing to get the people there, right? So if you do start with the conclusion first, as far as the presentation is concerned, not your theological examination, but as far as your presentation is concerned, have your conclusion in mind before you start. I would agree with that. So strictly speaking, the conclusion of the sermon ought to be prepared first. As you study the text and prepare the message, you must keep in mind what it is you're trying to accomplish. Remember that the purpose of a sermon is not to explain a subject, but to achieve an object. And that might be worthy of an additional discussion for us as well. And realizing, of course, that our tradition is not sermonic so much as expository. And I would say Our purpose is to explain a text and to equip believers with the right understanding of that text. And then based upon the right understanding of that text, then to draw the applications. Whenever you hear any of the following quote-unquote conclusions, you can be assured that the preacher did not prepare. And so he's got an assortment of them here, and I feel terrible that you're not able to look at these. So here's a conclusion he says to avoid. May the Lord bless these few thoughts from his word, and may all of us obey what his Spirit says to the churches. You could end any sermon with that. It's kind of a general thing that doesn't really apply to any specific message of anything. How about this one? Well, our time is up. Let's pause to pray. How about now? Let's review the main points again before we have the benediction and go to our various homes. Oh, there's so much more I could say, but I trust these truths have been a blessing to your heart. Okay. Could you imagine a salesman winding up his sales presentation with such nebulous talk? If he did, he would be broke and fired. Okay. Again, we're not here to sell anything, but there is a sense in which if somebody walks away and they don't know what was that last hour about, what was the passage dealing with, what's my takeaway? If they don't have a takeaway, well, then there's a problem with the approach. If the message you prepared has spoken to your own heart, and it better, then you can apply it to the hearts and lives of the people who hear you. Be specific. Call for a verdict. Challenge the people to respond. You may not see that response immediately, but ultimately you will. If your propositional sentence is what it ought to be, you will know what it is you want God to do in the lives of your people. A vague proposition leads to a vague conclusion and vague blessings. And I would agree with that as well. So, all right. Well, those are the items there. Thank you, Eliezer. Appreciate that. We have coming up next Sunday is Resurrection.